This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. We're going to go into the word of the Lord. Yesterday, and we're going to talk about God ABCs and 1-2-3s. God ABCs and 1-2-3s. Now, here's what I mean by this here. And you're going to get the gist of this here as soon as I explain it to you. Here's what I mean by this here. Now, why, just think in your mind, when we were taught in school, they taught us A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, yeah, all that. All the way to Z. You know, 26 of them. And then we were taught 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Now, those are in sync. They're in order. Now, what if I start saying, you know, G, F, Z, Q, P, R, T, out of order? Right. What if I start saying, you know, 9, 3, 4, 13, they're what? Out of sync, out of order. This is what I mean by God's ABCs and 1-2-3s, that when we look at the intentions of God in our lives for mankind, for humanity as a whole, you know, God does things decently and in order. Now, I want to cause you to see these things this morning, that again, in God's priority in life, you don't want to miss this. If you miss this, you're going to miss some stuff. You don't want to miss this here. That God is very definite when he does things, when he says things. He's very particular, you know, in the order that he does it. You know, so that if we ever get out of order, if we start going G, Q, M, O, you know, Z, U, you know, A, you know, F, you know, it's out of sync, out of order. It don't even sound right. You know, when we start trying to say it like that, it don't even sound right because it is out of order. We were taught order, 1-2-3-4-5. It's in order. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's in order. So when we look at God's ABCs, 1-2-3s, it's in order. We break the order, we break ourselves. Let me say, if we rearrange the order, we rearrange ourselves. If we break the priority, we misappropriate and we disorient our lives, we disorganize our lives, you know, when we go out of the order of Almighty God. Now, with that said, I want to call your attention to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25. Now, we're going to go over some verses of scripture that you are very well familiar with. And this morning, I want that as we conclude, as we finish, I want you to leave this place better than what you came in here. Okay? Now, in Matthew 25, he gives a scenario here. He gives... Jesus is talking and he's going to relate to the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is like. First thing he does when he first starts off Matthew 25, he likens the kingdom of heaven unto, I think it's 10 virgins, 5 who were wise and 5 who were foolish. And we know, you know, the scenario of those 10 virgins. Then he immediately goes in verse 14. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Now, this is what I want to talk about in this passage. Now, you've heard me minister out of this passage at a lot of funerals. And I talk about time and opportunity. Time and opportunity. Now keep that in the back of your mind. Time and opportunity. Because the kingdom of heaven is like this. Here's what it's like. It's like a man who was traveling into a far country, who called his own servants. Matthew 25:14. And what did he do? He delivered unto them his goods. This man was traveling. Here's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a man traveling into a far country, and he called unto himself his own servants. Now, in the past two sessions, we talked about you are not your own. You belong to somebody. You've been bought with a price. God owns you. Point to yourself and say, God owns me. I'm going to say it again. God owns me. So I ought not to live or act like I own myself because I've been bought with a price. All right. So here the Bible says that this man is traveling. Here what the kingdom of heaven is like. This man is traveling into a far country and he called his own the servants he owned. And what he does with these servants is something, you know, spectacular, is something awesome, is something incredible, that he trusts what he owned with his goods. And what he does, he takes his goods and he delivers them unto who he owns. Touch your neighbor and say, I got the goods. Come on, touch another neighbor and tell them, I got the goods. Come on, I want this to become very important to you. I want you to see this, you know, like you've never seen it before. You know, you got the goods, you just don't know you got the goods. A lot of you got the goods, you just don't know you got the goods. Now, if you would, media department, I want you to switch from the King James Version and put the Message Bible up there from the rest of this here. Now, I want you to see it in the Message, all right? Now, the Message says, it's also like a man talking about the kingdom of heaven, going off into an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegate responsibilities. He makes them responsible for what? His goods. So, tell somebody, I got the goods, and I'm also responsible for what he delegated unto me. So everybody in here got some goods, and you're responsible for the goods that's delegated unto you. Now, look, in the next verse it says, in verse 15, it says, to one he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, to a third $1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. But when he left, he didn't leave us without something. So he made sure everybody got something. You know, I've known pastors with you know, in talking about talents, they'll take some money. And they might give, you know, some of you 500, might give some of you 200, and might give some of you 100. And then give you a month. And tell you, now, after that month, I want you to bring it back. Not only the 500 or the 200 or the 100, but bring back what you did with it. Don't walk in here with no new dress and no hat. Because it wasn't given to you to go buy a new dress and a new hat. It was given to you to go and work it. Now, that's where we're going to dwell at today, because watch the next verse. The next verse says, all right, now, right off, meaning as soon as he got right off, the first servant went to work. What did the first servant do? What did the first servant do? And what happened? Doubled his master's investments. Now, I want to go into this word, work. All right, that's where I want to go. I want to go into this word, work, and just say some things about this word, because this first servant did something with what his master gave him. Now, it's interesting, you know, to look at the word work. One of the Hebrew concepts or one of the Hebrew words or meaning for the word work, there are several of them. Matter of fact, one of them means self-manifestation. Self-manifestation. All right. I ate a mango on last night when I got in, and I put the seed on a piece of foil paper on my counter. You know, Krista came in, she said, "Daddy, good night, I love you." And she happened to look in the kitchen, and she said, "And you need to throw that away, Dad." You know, I said, "No, I'm not going to throw it away. I'm a planet. You didn't throw it away, did you?" Well, we're going to go back and get that. And you was in the bed. You was asleep when I got in. So in looking at that mango seed, if I would say to that mango seed, work. What am I telling it to do? Listen to one of the concepts I gave, self-manifestation. Or let me give you another concept that will help you with self-manifestation. Another Hebrew word for work means to reveal your true self. Reveal your true self, or reveal who you are. I'm stopping and allowing you to think. I'm going to take my time. I want you to get this. See, let me make a statement about work, you know, that I've learned over the years. Many people have jobs. And what jobs do many times is prepare you for your work. What do I mean? You got something. Watch. Work means what? To reveal yourself. Meaning, you got something on the inside of you that the world is waiting for you to reveal. Your master gave it to you. He said he went away on an extended journey, and he did not leave without giving you something. But the only way that what he gave you is going to come out, you got to work it out. So the scripture said with the first one done, right off. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you. And in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the Word is working in your life and how you've been blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in, and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar, and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar, pray over your request, and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877 877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. He went to work. And when he went to work, what was in him, you know, he revealed what was in him, and he doubled what his master gave him. He became, when his master came back, he was double than what his master left him. Matter of fact, two of them were, they were double what their master left. Meaning they revealed themselves, they were promoted, and the master looked at him and said, "Well done. You're good and you're faithful. You revealed yourself." See, when you understand work and the concept of how the Bible presents work, you know, the bottom line, you will stop going to work. You'll go to your job and you'll reveal yourself on the job. This is why I can't understand if somebody go to somebody's job, you know, and they get paid for a full 8 days work and they only do two. I had a job, you know, years ago, which really promoted me to and prompted me to going back to college, is that I get to the job. I could finish all my work in 2 hours, you know, and then they want you to hide for the other 6 hours. You know, just, you know, go in the closet. And Thomas Hawkins, you had the job like that. Dunk, you had that job. Matter of fact, when I left, Dunk took that job and he kept hiding for, you know, until I bought him off that job into the masonry. Brought him out the closet, and he's been revealing his true self ever since. He ain't hiding in the closet no more. They said, you know, then you had your Bible. You used to bring your Bible to work
all the time.
And then when you finished your work, where you went?
To the closet.
To his, that was his, that he said that was his personal closet. Because they tell us, you know, we don't want the people to see you, you know, doing nothing. So, you know, just get out of sight. So therefore, they let you work 2 hours, you know, and then you couldn't reveal your true self. What was always in you, what you were supposed to manifest unto this generation. In Genesis chapter number, I was sharing with the class this morning. In Genesis chapter number one, you know, I said, and I just learned this yesterday, you know, the Holy Spirit began to talk to me and told me that as Moses wrote that Genesis chapter one is just a summary of what God did. Genesis chapter two is how God did what he did. You know, it's the details of the summary. You know, so in chapter two, notice what God did. It says that, you know, he created the male man first, then he breathed the breath of life of him. And then it says, and then God planted a garden. Follow me carefully. God planted a garden and he put the man in it. Now, I'm amazed at what God did, Mom, that God didn't leave, you know, the garden for a man to discover it. God didn't let the man go on a journey to search for where God wanted the man. God right off put him where he wanted him. Isn't that awesome? Meaning that God didn't let you go on a, like religion do, you know, you're searching for God. God put man where he was supposed to live. And where did God put man? In the garden, in Eden. That's where God put him. As a matter of fact, two times in chapter 2, it says, and God put the man in the garden. And in the first verse, it says, and God put him in the garden. And then it says, in the second time, and God put him in the garden to work it. That's what the message said. He put him in there to work it. Now, the King James says to care for it and to tend it. But the NIV says he put him in there, or the message says he put him in there to work it. So, in working it, God put him in there to reveal his true self. Watch. Because Adam didn't know what he could do until God told him to do it. Have you ever noticed, when you read Genesis chapter 2, it says this here, and God brought all the animals to Adam. See, Adam didn't go looking for the animals to name them. I found the roach and say, you a roach. He didn't go looking over here and say, you a giraffe. No, it said, God brought Adam, watch, he brought all the animals to Adam for Adam to name. And then it says, and whatever Adam called them, that's what they were. And in the midst of that, God was watching Adam do what? Work. Watching him be in control. God was watching Adam do what? God was watching Adam do what?
Work.
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 What did this servant do?
Work.
He went to work. Now, in God watching Adam work, God was looking at Adam, and watch what God says. It's not good for man to be alone. When did God say that? While Adam was working. He was watching Adam involved in his work, and he says, it's not good for man to be alone. Come on, I'm talking about God ABCs. Watch God ABCs in 1, 2, 3s. All right? Watch the priority of God. Watch the order of God. God gave him work. First, God gave him the garden. God gave him present. He had a relationship. Second, God gave him work. And he was watching Adam work. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. In essence, what God was saying, it ain't good for man to be doing all this work all by himself. Now, Tina wasn't even here yet. All right. Jeff was doing all the work. I mean, I was just working. I was naming. I was working. I was tending. I was caring. And then God said, it's not good for Jeff to be doing all the work by himself. Y'all watching the order of God? What was I doing? Working. What was I doing? Revealing myself. I was having self-manifestation moments. I was manifesting who I was. I'm telling you, it's wrapped up in the scriptures, you know, what a man supposed to be doing, what a woman supposed to be doing. I mean, it's evident right there in the passage. The man went away. The man is the Lord. He went away on an extended trip, which he gives us time. But he didn't leave us without giving us something to work with. Now, many of us leave what he gave us in us and never manifest out of us. This is why he called the servant wicked and lazy. I'm going to get to that in just a little bit and show you why he called him wicked and lazy. All right. Because when God give us something and we don't manifest it and we leave it hidden in us, through whatever reason, then you become wicked and lazy because you didn't work it out yet. So Jeff was doing all the work, you know, I was working. And God looked there and it was God's suggestion. Now, that's not going to get it. Jeff needs some help. Robert needs some help. Juan needs some help. Amade needs some help. Thomas needs some help. Richard needs some help. Charles needs some help. Mike needs some help. Tommy needs some help. Come on, James needs some help. If you're working. If you're revealing, what? If you're revealing yourself, now if you're not doing nothing, you don't need no help.
Yeah.
All right, my wife. All right, here was the solution. Watch. Here was the solution. Man, the Lord said something to me yesterday. For me doing all this work, God says, it ain't good. It's just not good for me to be doing all that work by myself. So I'm going to make him some help. So what God did, God put me. Now, after God suggested that, you know what God did? He let me go back to work. He kept watching me work. It says, so God kept bringing the animals, and I kept naming them, you know. And then, you know, sometime at the end of the day, he put me in a deep sleep. And when he put me in a deep sleep, he pulled the rib from me, and he created the woman. He created Tina. Now, everybody say God's ABCs. And got 1, 2, 3s. So he created Tina. All right. So here's Tina. Now, God was very specific in what he created. When God took something from me, notice he didn't create another male. All the men say, thank you, Lord. Now, because God knew exactly the help that we needed. He knew exactly what we needed to help us. Because here's what it says. When you read Genesis, it says, so Adam kept on working. And when he kept on working and naming the animals, it says, but he didn't find something that was suitable for him. That's what it said. He said, everything passed before him, but he didn't find anything that was suitable for him. So then God put him in, put Jeff to sleep, and he made him, the scripture said, a help meet. A help that was meet for him. Amen. All right. And he brought Tina to Jeff. All right, watch. He brought Tina to Jeff. Now, when Tina finds Jeff, what does Jeff have? He has relationship with God first. He's in the presence of God. He's in Eden. He's in Eden. Let me say it again. He's in Eden. How did he get in Eden? God put him there. Now, let me show you how important, you know, Eden is, or where God put you, how important that is to you. God always creates the environment before he creates the product. The environment is always more important than the product. I was reading yesterday in Genesis 1 where first thing God created was light. He saw it was good. All right. Then what he does, he separates the dry land from the seas. Now notice, when he separates the dry land from the seas, there ain't no herb, there ain't no trees, there ain't no nothing, there ain't no animals, you know, on the dry land. There ain't no fish in the sea, no fowls flying over the sea. You know, he's messing with the environment right now. And now once he get the dry land and the seas, then he says, let the earth bring forth. All right. So he said, let it bring forth seed bearing. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you, and in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the Word is working in your life and how you've been blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in, and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar, and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar. Pray over your request and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. And now once he get the dry land and the seas, then he says, let the earth bring forth. All right. So he said, let it bring forth seed bearing. Let it bring forth herbs of the field, seed bearing plants, you know, fruit bearing plants whose seed is in themselves. Then he says to the waters, let the waters bring forth fish and whales and all this stuff. So see, he before he creates, puts the plant or the tree in the soil, he creates the soil, the environment that is fertilized, that is able to support what he put in it. Before he put the fish in the sea, he creates the waters. Then he creates the environment first. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the firmament. Then, somewhere around the fourth day, then he creates the stars and the sun and the moon. All right? He creates the environment. Then he puts the stuff in there. All right? So he creates Eden. Then he put Jeff in there, or Adam in there. You see, the environment was more important than me. You know, so he makes sure he creates that environment first, then he puts us in it. You know, if, you know, when you look at it, watch, when you look at it, here's how I can explain it. And we've said this before. Right? We've told you that the tree needs the soil, right? We told you that the fish need the water, right? We told you that the stars need the firmament. All right, if you take a star out of the firmament, what it does, it turns into a meteorite, it burns up and it dies. If you take a fish out of the water, there's a word for it, the fish malfunctions. Right? We take them out of the water and we throw them in the ice chest, they flat for a while and they malfunction. They ain't right no more. They die. All right. You catch fish, you throw it on the pavement because you throw your line back in there. It's going to flop around. It's malfunction. All right. You take a tree up out of the soil, it's going to malfunction. It ain't going to function right. That's what malfunction is. It don't function right. Right? All right. So if you take a man out of Eden, right? The man malfunctions. That's why he kill folk, don't understand his destiny, beats his wife, impregnate girls, so the bottom line is the man malfunctioned. And then women got to marry a man that ain't functioning right, because the man is taken out of, see, just like the fish need water and the stars need the firmament and the trees need the soil, man need Eden. Eden, I told you before, you know, when you define Eden, Eden is a spot, you know, it's the gateway to heaven. It means presence. It means delightsome place, you know. And I told you about Eden. Eden wasn't so much a place. It was an environment that God put the man in. You know, the Bible says, you know, Eden means presence. It says in his presence is what? The fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there's what? Pleasures forevermore. So God needs to bring a male man back into his presence so the male man can have fullness of joy. Because, you know, when God makes Tina and presents her to me, there's two things I have. I have Eden and I'm working. I'm revealing myself. So she meets me. Watch. Even what? We've been married 30 years in February. But I met you in 82. So, what, that's 32 years we've been knowing each other. Mm-hmm. And when we met each other, what was I doing?
Working.
I was working. What kind of work was I doing?
Laying bricks and block building.
What am I doing today?
Same thing.
Same thing. So when I met Tina, you know, the way I got her, I was rapping to her. Now, watch, this is going to be very important. This is going to be very important. Now, she met me. I was in the presence of God. I had a relationship with God. And I was working. I was revealing myself. Now, I wasn't revealing myself to her. I was revealing myself to this generation.
Amen.
You know, I was laying blocks. I was building her daddy's church. She met me building her daddy's church. Now, what I was doing then, 32 years later, I'm still doing the same thing. I'm revealing myself. So my rap to her was this here. I got a vision that what I'm doing now, you know, I'm going to support you with it. I'm going to buy you this. I'm going to give you a house. I'm going to take care of your wardrobe. I'm going to give you an income. You know, we're going to have a business together. All right. I think it's Proverbs 27:19, is it? What does Proverbs 27, I think it's 27:19. Or 18, what is it? I'm looking for that scripture where there is no vision, people perish. Is that? I'm going to be finished with you in just a little bit. That's not it. Proverbs. We're close, aren't we? 29 and 18. There it is. All right. Put that on the board, Stretch. Now watch. I had relationship with God. And I was revealing myself. I was working. So when I was talking to her, you know, girl, I like you. You know, that like can turn into love. This is what I do for you. You know, this is what we can do together. You know, what was I selling her? I was selling her now my vision. My vision. My vision. Vision becomes powerful. This is how powerful it is. Because when Adam was working, God made this helper for him. God was very specific in the helper that he made for him. And the helper that he made for Adam, or the helper he made for Jeff, was to help Jeff with his work. Now, work and vision is tied together. Vision is not private. It's personal, but not private.
Right.
Your vision as a male is not private. It's personal, but not private. And your vision is an oversight of your purpose, and it involves your work. So therefore, when you look at vision, where there is no vision, the family perishes. Meaning Tina Parrish, Stephanie Parrish, Kendra Parrish, Tamara Parrish, Krista Parrish. They're destroyed. If I didn't have vision for the family, they perish. Now, let me show you how awesome this is. So the thing is, now I sold her my vision. Lo, she bought my vision. She bought into my vision. I'm going to take her for her to leave West Virginia. There's a palace bought in the Stretch vision. She left Arizona and came to Mississippi to Bay St. Louis. Stretch had a powerful rap. Come on. See, vision is powerful. This is why. Now watch. Anybody saw the movie The Help? I told her this morning, the help. She got a bachelor's degree in accounting. musician, play the keyboard, can speak, a great mother, a great parent. She was raised in this culture that God brought me into, because I wasn't in, you know, church culture. She was raised in it. She understand the ins and outs about it. And God put all of that in her for me. See, you got to discern the help. Now, see, a lot of men, because they don't have the work. Now, I'm working. So God connects this help to me to help me in my work. I can't play no keyboard. I can't sing. Come on. I'm not that good at accounting, but she is. She can administrate. She can keep up. She know how to talk to folks. She got strategy. She got wisdom. She know how to deal with folks. She know how to parent. You know, so God put all of that in her to help me. So therefore, when she bought into my vision, no, she didn't have a vision of her own. She met me with work and a vision. So therefore, my vision becomes her security.
Amen.
She's secure. Let me help you, women. Let me help you, men. My vision not only provides security for her, it provides confidence for her.
Amen.
Meaning she knows exactly where we're going. She's secure, you know, because she can look at the past and see that where my work has brought us, and she's secure about the future. Remember, I told you one of the most important things to a woman is security.
Amen.
They need to be secure.
Amen.
So she wasn't afraid of having children for me, because she was so secure that my work would be the provision and provide everything that the family need, because I had a vision. And because I had a vision, she was so confident that her family was not going to perish.
Amen.
So her life is wrapped up in my vision.
Mm-hmm.
Her life is wrapped up in my work. Or I can say it like this here. She finds fulfillment in my work. She is fulfilled with my vision. This is where Eve was. I'm going to give you another example. Matter of fact, I challenged my wife this morning. I said something to her. I'm going to let you go. How many know the risk of a woman having it? Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you. And in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the Word is working in your life and how you've been blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in, and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar, and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar. Pray over your request and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. Women, could you tell me some of the risk?
The baby would be deformed.
Who can die? The woman can die. Child can die. Stillbirth. Paralyzed. All right. So there's a lot of complications. But in the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, you know, the Bible says, and Abram was 99 years old. Come on, let me talk to you. And God come talking to Abraham, and he says, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. And then he tells Abraham, that I'm going to bless you, and your name shall no longer be Abram, but Abraham. Now watch. Then he goes on down in that chapter, and he says to Abraham, and your wife's name is no longer going to be Sarai, but Sarah. And I'm going to bless you and Sarah with a son. And Abraham laughed. Abraham laughed. Watch y'all. And Abraham said to God, let my name or my seed be called in Ishmael. And God said, it is not going to be called in Ishmael, but I'm going to bless you and Sarah with a child, and you're going to call his name Isaac. Now, Abraham went back and told Sarah. This is what God said. Abraham had a vision from God. Abraham got a word from God. Now, what can happen to a lady, a woman, that has get impregnated with a child in her old age? Complications that can lead to death, summarizing it, right? But Abraham told Sarah what God said. And because Sarah was so sold on the vision of Abraham and so wrapped up in Abraham's work, she had Abraham's vision gave her the confidence for Sarah to say, let's do what God said do, baby. Sarah wasn't worried about no death. Sarah wasn't worried about no complication. Sarah wasn't worried about no stillbirth. Sarah wasn't worried about no paralyzation. Sarah wasn't worried about nobody. See, when a man has work and a man has a vision and a woman understands she's come along to be his help, to bring the past, to help him reveal himself unto this generation, then she has the confidence, although it puts her in jeopardy, she has the confidence that I am so secure and so confident in my man's work and vision that death got to stand on the sideline and nothing can harm this child. This child going to be a normal child, a God child, because God said he was going to be. That she said, let's do it, baby. You reading Genesis chapter 14, it says that Abraham had 318 servants born in his house that he trained. So Abraham was working. He was doing, to have 318 servants, somebody say Abraham was working. Come on, say it again. Abraham was working.
Abraham.
He had a lot of work. You got to have a lot of work if you got 318 servants. And then, you know, for Sarah to be sold into his vision and sold into his work, you know, she was confident. Now, I told my wife this here this morning. Now, I am to relate my vision to her. I said, Stephanie getting married, Kendra getting married, Tam getting married, Chris getting married. Stephanie is Navy officer, you know, master's degree, making her own income, own her own home, you know. And if she marries somebody who don't have a vision and not working, she going to be frustrated because God put all of that stuff in her. So I tell my children, you know, the thing is, you going to marry a man, want to marry you, make him show you his vision on paper. Why? Because he wants you to follow him. Ask him, follow you where? Where you want me to follow you? Show me where you going. Come on, talk to me. Show me where you going if you want me to follow you. And then let me look. Because let me look and see what you've done in the past. Come on, are we in the Bible? We're right there in the Bible. You know, if Eve say, Adam, you want me to follow you? Show me what you've been doing. Adam say, there's a giraffe. There's the zebra. You know, look at the peanut tree. Look at the watermelon patch. You know, she's sold on his work. I can get with that. She can look at his past and see where they're going in the future. Don't come to me talking to me, you know, with a rap, you know, girl, you know, we're going to have some 22s, some rims with some 22s. I don't want no 22s. You know, I told my wife this week, I came in this week, you know, how many remember Teddy Pendergrass, the singer? I told my wife, I waited all day long just to hold you in my arms. Now, the thing is, I got to write the hole in my arm because I just come from work. Somebody ain't working, you know, you ain't holding me in your arms. You need to go to work. Talking about shut the door. Shut the door, you don't even have no work. Let's light a candle. You didn't even buy the candle. You want to light a candle. And then some women, let me tell you something. When you don't understand, when Eve don't understand, you know, thinking she's shutting the door and the dude don't even have no job. She lighting a candle, getting pregnant, and the dude don't even have no job. That's stupidity. That's craziness. Talking about, that's my man. He ain't no man. He don't know God and he ain't got no work. And you crazy to lay up there and open him up and let him plant his seed there. He ain't got nothing to take care of. I'm sorry to be so graphic, amen, but I need to talk to you because it's right here in the Word. And if we do it the way the Word say do it, our lives will be the better. We go around being jealous of folk. We go around criticizing folk because we're outside the Word. If we operate and do it according to the Word. Now watch. I tell my wife my vision. I have my vision is to have long life. Well, how long do you want life? Well, I know I want 85. But God promised me 120. But at 85, watch. At 85, I want to say like Caleb. I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. Now, that's my vision. Now, she come along to help me. Now, the thing is, she got to help me get there. Come on, Tom. She got to help me get. That's what God created her for, right? As a helper. So what she got to do, now, I got to prepare some healthy meals, you know, for my man, because my man want to get to 120. My man want to be just as strong at 85 as he was at 40. So the thing is, I got to research this thing, get the right vitamins and the right minerals. You know, I got to prepare the right stuff and do it in the right way. I can't go get him fried chicken and hamburgers every day because he ain't going to get there. I'm going to clog his arteries up. You know, I'm going to stop him up, you know, and he's going to die before his time. So I got to help. Listen, you're a help, right? So you got to help me in my vision. I done told you my vision, so help me get there. You know, I want to be as strong at 85 as I was at 40, and there's hamburgers on the table every day. Popeye's fried chicken every day. With a milkshake and french fries. I'm not going to get there, not with that foolishness. You're not trying to help me, you're trying to kill me. Come on. Somebody say the help.
The help.
I'm a man of God. I'm a man of God. You know, the Bible said when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace with him. You see, that's my vision. I want to please the Lord.
Amen.
All right. So you know what she got to do? Let me get physical now. You got to help me because, you know, with me, a man is built on what he see. So now the thing is, you got to stay fit. I don't want to come in, you know, past all these beautiful women out there on the job, you know. And the thing is, I come in, you know, and then. Man, it's a chore to look at my health. She's too tired to do anything. And I just passed all these women that's full of energy. She can't tell me she got a headache and the feet are hurting. None of their feet wasn't hurting and none of them had no headaches. But because I want to please the Lord, I'm going home to my help. And because she's my help, you know, she helping me. She helping me stay holy. She helping me stay saved. She helping me stay sanctified. Y'all ain't talking to me. So if I eat at home, I don't need Popeyes. If I eat at home, I don't need Burger King. All those Burger King and Popeyes running around, I don't need them because I done ate at home. You talking about at home, you know, you shutting the door, but he not in the bedroom. Come on, you're talking about this is the problem, that's the problem, the other's the problem. Then what the thing is, he working, he got God's presence, but then you're not helping him. You got to help him. Help him. My goal is to go to heaven. Amen. Stay with God all my life. When I die, I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's my goal.
Amen.
Then, if that's my goal, Brother Rob, she's supposed to do what? Help me get that. That's what God created her for. He created her to be a helper. So you see that woman? You are a helper. Whatever his vision is, you were sent to him to help him. And then, man, the thing is, everything that God put in her, you can't be intimidated with it. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you. And in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905 8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the word is working in your life and how you've been blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar. Pray over your request and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you.